The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max's Raw Review for December 12th, 2016. And we are hereby come the W2M Network. If you want to come check us out on all our other great shows like the SmackDown Live Review, plus Part 1 and Part 2 of Wrestling to the Max, go check out the W2M Network. Go subscribe now. Plus, you don't want to forget to go to the website that's one of the best in the world. It is called W2Mnet.com, and it gives you everything under the sun when it comes to the world of wrestling, plus video games and a little football as well. So you've got all your bases covered if you're a sports fan and you love wrestling and video games. And, of course, don't forget, hey, we always want to let you guys know about everything that we've got going here. So if you want to join the Facebook group, it is on Facebook, and it is, of course, Wrestling to the Max. So go do that now. But besides that, guys, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to Raw, so let's jump into it now.
All right. I forgot where this... Oh, this Raw was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I don't remember the name of the freaking arena right this minute. But, yeah, so this show obviously was centered around not only the go-home for Roadblock, End of the Line. That's the last time I'm going to call it by that big-ass name, just letting you know. And also because the New Day were set to break Demolition's record if they left this night with their tag team titles. So they started and ended the show with a Raw tag team title match with some things in between here. So we should might as well just start with that. They started off with that triple threat between Sheamus, Cesaro, Gallows, Anderson, and New Day. This was actually a really good match here between all three guys. I love like Cesaro's like big close where he was just absolutely destroying everyone, and then Kofi was able to tag himself in, and New Day get the win and keep their titles. There was a big celebration that was supposed to be set to go on. And the reason why there is a main event with a tag title match is because New Day were celebrating with all their friends that looked like the Rosebuds had come back for a while. And Stephanie, of course, I forgot which year or... I think it was some kind of other SmackDown party or something where this happened, but... this has happened before where Stephanie has been sprayed with something. And so they do the, basically, Xavier Woods gets too excited and pops the bottle off the champagne, and Stephanie happens to be right there for the champagne shower. And she is, of course, pissed. And Kevin Owens later informs us that there's a Chris Jericho Kevin Owens versus New Day tag match, but because during the Rollins report, where Kevin Owens is having a little spat with Seth Rollins, Chris Jericho also comes out because him and Kevin Owens have issues. Mick Foley comes out and makes it a triple threat tag team championship match again, adding Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins to the match. This one was even freaking better than the first one, I thought. New Day still win, basically because the four guys that are involved in bigger matches at Roadblock They basically cost each other the match, and New Day were able to get the win. So New Day have officially broken the record, or will break the record tomorrow, or will now technically. Will break the record of Demolition's 478 days as WWE World Tag Team Champions. Congratulations to them. What did you think of how the show was built around them, the matches, all that stuff?
You know, I think it was pretty solid, if you ask me. I mean, I really appreciated the fact that they did start the show out with this. This was given...
Also, let me tell you that this was pretty much the only relevant real wrestling that happened on the...
No. Yeah.
Whatever was happening with New Day was like the only wrestling you really need to pay attention to.
It's the honest truth. And I get it. It was honestly the most important thing. It really was. And so do I have a problem with it outshining really the Kevin Owens, the Universal title, or even the fact that the women's title was not a big thing on this show? No, it doesn't bother me at all because this is significant. This is a record-breaking event. And it's got a little comedy, it's got a lot of seriousness involved, and so it's all-encompassing, it's fine. I think, you know, the great, you know, way to start the show was to have this match and have it be as good as it was. You know, a lot of times, especially with the way WWE likes to do things, they like to start the show out, make you think they're going to have a great match, and then they screw you over by having a count out or something silly where they're like, oh, we thought you were going to get a good match, but guess what, guys? You have to wait all the way to the end of the 3 hours to get it. So that was not the case. They gave us a good match. We got a definitive winner, which was the New Day. Then you got all the stuff in between, which is just build, you know. In that final match, it's kind of a cool, if you ask me too, because it was better, and you honestly had spots where you thought maybe this may not be in favor of the New Day. Maybe they are going to screw New Day over, and, you know, maybe Rollins and Reigns are going to win because, you know, Roman Reigns is the all-encompassing, you know, champion of everything when it comes to WWE, but that doesn't happen. We got a pretty darn close three count, and then, you know, of course, you know, you did have the possibility, you know, we knew it was far-fetched of, you know, Jericho and Owens, so overall, I'm pretty happy with the result. I don't overly love it, but I think it was good. I think it was pretty solid, if you ask me.
I mean, I think from the moment those four guys were added to that second match, you knew that it was going to be them costing each other the match. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was kind of like basically writing on the wall.
Well, but the ending, too, if you look at the ending here, it's one of Paul's favorite moments, and that's the fact that, you know, you have Chris Jericho basically seeing that, you know, Owens is going to get speared. Well, it happens. Owen gets speared. And even though New Day won the match, guess whose music is played last? Roman Reigns, Paul.
Oh, my God. Oh.
God bless you, WWE, and know how to make me angry.
Had to rub it in a little bit, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about how much they like to make sure Reigns is the last thing you see and the most important part you see on this show. And I think this whole booking around the New Day was a nice touch. No, it doesn't make them look super strong moving forward. And I mean, honestly, the rest of the tag division now sort of is left out to dry in their wake. But I think it does a great job of building up your bigger matches as for Roadblock in the ending match there with Roman Reigns taking out Kevin Owens, and you have all the tension between Jericho and Seth, and then those guys end up taking each other out so the New Day can retain, and really does feel like a go-home show, which I think Larry mentioned quite nicely in his review over at 411, but smart booking there, which is not something we can always say.
I agree, and, you know, Sean, this is something that I also kind of thought, you know, You already mentioned it. It was the biggest part of the show. The rest of it was just kind of there. I think other than another, you know, situation that you're going to talk about, I think, you know, this was the heartbeat of this entire show, which kind of shows you it is a go-home show because it's all about that main event. It's all about the tag team.
Yes, it is. I mean, the tag team thing, I don't think he would have had two matches if they weren't trying to break the record or whatever. They would have focused on, maybe you would have had a Sasha and Charlotte segment. you know, instead of having the recap video, and maybe you would have had other things. But they built it around that, and they built it around that well. I mean, they knew people really wanted to see it. That's good. They didn't try to, like, overdo it with other stuff. So I do appreciate that in a way. Getting away from that, though, I mean, there was other things on this show. Probably one of the more important things on this show, because of the lack of other things concerning Roadblock, is the situation with Sami Zayn and Mick Foley. And Sami Zayn really wanting a Braun Strowman match, and Mick Foley saying, look, man, I'm not letting you have this match where Braun Strowman is going to destroy your career. And he was, Sami Zayn was having backstage segments with Foley where he was basically trying to do everything he could to force Foley and goad him into accepting the match, kind of, you know, saying that he's out there accepting things for his, he's keeping him from doing stuff that if this was Foley, Foley would have done himself. Sami Zayn does whoop Jinder Mahal. Seriously, like, Jinder Mahal shouldn't be getting offense in 2016. The dude is just vapid, all right? Foley, Zayn basically does everything to say to Foley that, hey, look, I want off this show then. I want to be traded. And so Foley actually agrees to the trade, and that Sami Zayn was going to be traded for Eva Marie. No joke, he was going to be traded for Eva Marie. But apparently Eva Marie then announces that they cannot afford her contract. And I don't know, I think he eventually signs off on Zayn versus Strowman after Zayn cuts this promo and everything. This is kind of where my stream sort of cut out. So
yeah, I know. Really, you know, at the end of this is you have, you know, fully, you know, basically say, yeah, sure, you know, okay, the contract's here, just sign here, you're officially traded. And Sami saying, you know, says, okay, give it to me. He said, well, wait, before I do that, are you going to give me Strowman? He goes, no. He goes, okay, well, then I'll sign it. And before he signs it, you know, Mick Foley's like, well, hold on a second, let me tell you something. Don't you want to know who you're getting traded for? Blah, blah, blah. You know, ends up being Eva Marie. The big thing is that Sami Zayn takes huge offense to that, which who wouldn't? And it ends up him yelling at Mick Foley. Well, Mick Foley basically says, that's what I wanted out of you. I want you to remember the bitterness, all the hatred, everything that you got out of that emotion. You've got to take that with you if you expect to beat a guy like Braun Strowman. So is this a, you know, flat segment? No, I kind of like the emotions. This is probably, I know there's some people out there that don't like Sami Zayn and maybe him cutting promos, but I'm okay with it. I think this is maybe one of the best things he's done. You got so much emotion out of him. You got so much emotion out of Mick Foley. I think this is very well done. This was not something silly. It wasn't stupid, because a lot of these end up being that way, but this wasn't. And so I appreciated it, and it does make me care about this match against Strowman. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just kind of feel like it now has a little bit more importance than it has before. Before, I'm just like, they're jobbing out Zayn just to do it. Now I kind of feel like, hey, at least Sami has a shot here, and heck, he might even win now.
It makes both guys feel very important, because obviously now Zayn has this big story where he's trying to prove himself, even though they've sort of already done this, and that he has a freaking clean win over the Universal Champion, but we refuse to acknowledge that. So,
Well, they had him have another match with Owens last week, and then he lost Owens.
Oh, okay. Well, shows you how much I care about Raw.
Technically, you were gone on vacation.
So yeah, enjoy your vacation. Don't worry about watching Raw.
Yeah.
And this helps Braun, too. He gets to work with somebody who can make him look good in the ring, And he has kind of a hot story going on where he looks super dominant and Sammy has everything to prove by beating him now. So you have good stuff and good heat going in for both guys going into this match. So once again, a match that I wasn't really looking forward to. Now I kind of am.
And this is great. And the one thing that I want to ask both of you guys is, do you appreciate the fact that we finally get trade talks with somebody on, at least it's on the Raw roster? We haven't heard about trades. And
I would have
this
preferred
is kinda
if
cool.
It was a serious one, though.
Like, yeah, because Mick Foley did admit this was not real. Like, he never talked to Daniel Bryan. But still, I do appreciate the fact that they did bring up the fact that they can do that.
Yes, that's something that's important. And that they did it on TV because, you know, that was one of the things that killed the brand split before, was that they would do it, but they would do it, like, offhand. And so they would randomly be like, oh, this guy got traded and you didn't even know about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, oh, great, so y'all can just make up when people get traded. That's awesome.
Exactly, for no reason at all.
I mean, this is before, obviously, where everybody would be looking at Twitter and stuff. Like, now you could probably get away with it because a lot of your audience might know. But still, like, it, you know, you still need to find a way to announce it on TV because there are going to be people, especially in the crowd, that may not have paid attention to social media at that point, that are not going to know what the hell's going on. And they're going to think that this is just BS. So, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I did appreciate the fact that we can talk about trades. Hopefully, you know, we can do some at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you want to say something on that, Paul? Or?
I mean, we've talked about them maybe trading some people around, and they've certainly brought it up several times on Raw. They don't really talk about it too much over on SmackDown. Like you said, it's nice to hear that this can be a thing. And certainly I hope that at least this gets capitalized on at some point.
Yeah. You know, and the one thing I took out of this, too, is I wonder how many people at home were actually, like, thrilled that Sami Zayn was getting traded to SmackDown. Because I know we've kind of talked about it a little bit here and there that, you know, Sami Zayn actually may do really well over on SmackDown. But on the other hand, I kind of like him being a part of Raw. It's kind of weird. But, you know, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like they're finally trying to do something with him here, though. And if this goes anywhere good, then maybe you'll see Sammy's stock rise some.
Mm-hmm.
Very true, very true. So, speaking of, well, I guess her stock would be rising because she at least wins. But this storyline with Bayley and Alicia Fox just continues to hit more and more lows for the women that are supposed to be going above this. You know, this has to be like a Kevin Dunn thing because it's like, okay, we're letting you guys have your sports competition women's feud with Sasha and Charlotte, but we got to have our catty petty feud with Bayley and Alicia Fox, with Alicia Fox and Bayley fighting over Cedric Alexander. Or at least Alicia Fox is fighting for Cedric Alexander. Bayley is just upset that one of her bears got destroyed. Which, you know, it's a total Bayley thing to be upset about. But, you know, the match wasn't anything, but I thought we were over this, like, women fighting over a man thing.
Yeah, I thought so too, and this is just, I look at this as just filler. This is not even important to me. It's not even on my radar. I kind of forgot it was a thing.
Like,
until,
if Alicia Fox was on, and I think she might be, I'm not sure. But if both her and Bayley were on Total Divas, okay. But Bayley's obviously not. And, you know, I don't even know if Alicia Fox is anymore or not. And, so it's like, really? Like, this is what we're doing here? You know?
Yeah. And they mentioned Alicia Fox on 205 Live last week. So, I mean, it's something, I guess, and it is, you know, kind of crossing over to the other shows, but I just could care less. And Bayley, I mean, yes, the teddy bear thing, it makes sense, like you said. But on the other hand, it's like, come on. Give her an actual feud. Make it something that we're going to care about. We've seen it on NXT, but hey, give her Nia Jax. If you got nothing for Nia, give her Bayley again. At least for the people that haven't seen it, they can actually get a good match out of them. Something that Bayley can actually chew on here. This is pointless. This is dumb. And this is not going to get any better. I'm sorry. I just don't see this growing at any higher level.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, I don't think they want to put Bayley and Nia together because they're building both. Are trying to build both. And this, while seemingly very silly, it is at least something for Bayley to come out of looking strong with, even though Alicia Fox really doesn't mean a whole lot to the greater picture of things. So you have to wonder whether it's actually helping or not, which it doesn't seem like it is.
Well, the problem here is really, who else is there for her to face, too? That's the biggest issue here, because we've already seen her and Dana Brooke. Mm-hmm. Now you got Alicia Fox. Who the heck else is on this roster when it comes to the women's division besides Sasha and Charlotte? I can't think of it. I had to look up the roster. I don't know. So that's a big problem. That's a huge issue if you ask me.
Mm. Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, you mentioned 205 Live. The Cruiserweights had a few things on the show. Obviously, there's the triple threat between Rich Swann, what the hell? I can't think of his name right now. Mr. Perkins and TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick and TJ Perkins had another match on this show, which was, again, it was a good match, but look, let's be honest. They had the chemistry going, I think, for the first match, certainly. It's kind of deteriorated as it's gone on. And I'm much more interested in whatever Rich Swann is doing than whatever, Mr. Perkins is doing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this was fine. It was a decent match. But, you know, I'm not complaining about the match. It's right now I'm looking at this match and saying we've seen this, but kind of been there. You kind of feel like, well, do I really have to pay that much attention to it? And it's really not for anything. And so I just kind of felt like TJ Perkins is doing fine, but at the same point, doesn't get a chance to look good when it comes to just doing something different and getting people to like him more. So I don't know. I think right now it's kind of like TJ Perkins is in a holding pattern. And I don't know what they're going to do to adjust that, but having matches with Kendrick is fine. I don't know. I kind of feel like I don't have a lot of good things to think about TJ Perkins right now.
Here's the big, I mean, obviously you still have people struggling to find a way to care about the Cruiserweight division. And I think that what they did on 205 Live and moving the belt over to Rich Swann was definitely the right move. He's the one who's gotten the most pops. I think he's the easiest person in the division right now to get behind. And they've done well there. But you have everything going that way. And you haven't really built up anybody else seemingly enough for people to care about there being a big foil to him. And I think that's been a sort of a weakness of the Cruiserweight division, is that you had the Brian Kendrick as your top heel, and he wasn't really being super duper heelish during his challenge for TJP because they mishandled that whole feud. So I think you're having people just struggling to get into whatever you're trying to do. They like Rich Swann. They want somebody who he can face off against. I think people want to care. It seems like they do, and they just can't seem to capitalize.
That is very true. I think Rich Swann definitely, if there's anybody that's going to make you sort of care about the Cruiserweights, it's going to be him. Right. His matches with Kendrick got the crowd going. When they were doing 205 Live, actually live, now they taped the 205 Live that we're going to watch tomorrow, they taped before Raw today. So they already have killed the actual 205 Live concept of it actually being live. That didn't take long, as we already knew was going to happen. And, you know, we shouldn't really be surprised, because this was always going to be a hard thing for them to be able to really capitalize on, with the crowd already not caring about the cruiserweights. So, you know. But anyway, I think to me the more important, the funnier thing out of the cruiserweights is we have Arya Daivari having a match, because my God, we got to continue to have this. This guy's boring as hell. Not to mention, you know, so he's having a match, and then the best part of the entire, one of the best parts of the entire evening, Jack Gallagher comes out, or Gallagher, sorry, whatever way you say his name. He comes out, and he's like, I am announcing my intention to interfere in this match. And I want you to know that you are a scoundrel. And the crowd starts chanting, scoundrel is great. Oh, my God. Jack Gallagher is going to... This is another guy that, if anybody else is going to really get the cruiserweights over, this could be a guy to do it right there. I know Kevin Dunn probably cringed at the fact that he has an accent, but he was very easy to understand. I don't see how you can complain about his accent being too strong or whatever. I had no problem understanding what he was saying, and that shouldn't be a knock on him at all.
Yeah, you're right. And this guy, to me, is going to be the one that really transcends this entire cruiserweight division. And maybe they're not going to have him face other people outside of the cruiserweights, but I think when I look at him, I look at a guy that's going to start, you know, catching on with people, and they're going to start liking him, and they're going to start kind of, you know, maybe even feeling compassion for him a little bit here. And I could see him maybe selling some merch because people like him, kind of like they do over on SmackDown, James Ellsworth, right? He's a funny little guy. He's got a funny little accent. He kind of reminds you of Watson from Sherlock Holmes. He's just, you know, he's got some charisma about him. He may not be, you know, overly charismatic, but what he has can catch on. So I feel good about Jack Gallagher. I think he's got some, you know, some momentum going for him, at least at this moment. And I think the other guys will probably get over because of their, you know, abilities. Like Dorado, I think he'll get over because he's got so much of talent. But it's really, you know, not going to be anything on the mic. So, but Daivari, I can't agree with you more, Sean. I think this guy is a perfect heel because he is so boring, and people are going to love to watch him get beat down.
This is another fault in the cruiserweight division, is that they've only really focused on building five or six guys, and even looking outside the top three that you have in the cruiserweight title match going into Roadblock this Sunday, that might be being generous to the other three guys. That being said, Jack Gallagher is somebody that we automatically singled out of during the Cruiserweight Classic as somebody who could certainly be something big in this division. He easily connected with the crowd over at Full Sail. He's very different inside the ring, and he brings, even though he's a very World of Sport style wrestler, there is still a very modern twist to everything he does, and he brings comedy, and he brings all these other things into a match with him that just make it so easy to get behind and connect with him, and you want to cheer for the guy, and something like this is exactly what they needed. Another big face, somebody for some, you know, other people in the arenas to sink their teeth into. Now they just need a bit, they need a top heel, something fierce, and I hope they find one soon. And it doesn't seem like Daivari is going to be it, but then again, they still haven't done a lot to build him, like I said earlier, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just something about the guy, but, you know, that may just be our personal opinion. But from my point of view, he's probably not going to get over on the mic. He's probably, but just him being there, you're just like, good God, beat this guy. He sucks.
That's fair enough. Yeah, so I think after this, there's really not a whole lot going on here that we haven't talked about. Braun Strowman squashed Curtis Axel. And yeah, that's about it. So, yeah, I think overall, though, this was still a good way to kind of, they actually did a go home to Raw for a lot of this, and that was interesting. And also, they just gave Sasha and Charlotte a big video package, making it seem like it's a big match. I wonder if they're going to mention the fact that Sasha had a Iron Man match with Bayley before on NXT, or they're going to try to just downplay that. We'll have to see, I guess, you know, during the pre-show of Roadblock and the Line, if they mention it at all. But yeah, I thought the women were given, those two women were given a nice spotlight, and that was kind of cool. So let's get into rating time, I guess.
Yeah, this show was fine. You know, they had that big storyline, of course, that we talked about, you know, of course, surrounding the tag titles, and of course, you know, the guys that are going to be featured in the main event, like Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and even Jericho to an extent. So that all was fine. I think they did a good job of it, being the heartbeat of this entire show. I really, really appreciated the Sami Zayn and Mick Foley segment. To me, that actually helped this card for the next, you know, show coming up this next weekend. Besides that, the rest of it was just there. And I, you know, I didn't overly hate it, but I didn't love it. There were times in this show that I kind of found myself thinking, okay, what's the score on the Patriots and Ravens? Let me flip it over there. You know, let me watch a little bit more of this. You know, I want to see what's going to happen here. So that's not always a good thing. And so I kind of want to rate this a 6. I think it was fine. It did its job, but it wasn't overly good.
I think it reads like a 6. I think they did a good job of at least building up to Roadblock. Your big matches have more build to them. You've generated some interest in the Sami Zayn Braun Strowman feud to where at least I think people want to see it happen. And hopefully we get to see something build out for the tag teams and all that stuff going into Roadblock, because I think they're the only ones that really don't have anything going for them.
Yeah, I'll go with a 6.5. This was actually a pretty good show, I thought. And, you know, you built well to Roadblock and the Line. You got New Day, really got a lot of play in this show while you involved the other guys that were in the, you know, bigger main events type matches. And then also just the way that they kind of played everything else off, just very well done. So I'll go with that.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that is our Raw review for this week, and we appreciate everybody for coming and checking out the show. Of course, once again, please go check out W2Mnet.com. You'll find all our other reviews, like SmackDown Live, and of course, a lot of written reviews as well for our shows. So you don't want to miss any of that content. Also, go subscribe to the W2M Network if you haven't already. Besides that, guys, we appreciate all of everyone who's coming and checking us out tonight, and we will catch all of you down the road. But until next time, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Please.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.